Do you know what you want for Christmas?
A cute toy.
No, I just want my family back.
That's what I want for Christmas.
We'll see what Santa can do, okay?
It's Christmas, so be of good cheer.
Merry Christmas.
Tis the season to watch telly on Channel 4. Stream now.
Think about cheese. Make your thoughts cheesier. Now add 100% chicken breast fillet, chipotle sauce and a mega cheese melt. And it's giving the new cheesy chicken stack at McDonald's. Did we mention it's cheesy?
Cheese!
Available until the 4th of Jan 2026 from 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Subject to availability.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Podcast. We're a bunch of good time pals yucking it up, busted chops, and making an actual play podcast of your favorite tabletop role-playing games. And today is episode 7 of our new Shadow Dark campaign. Listen, if you're enjoying what you're watching, what you're listening to so far, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to head to jointhenaish.com if you're interested in thousands of hours of exclusive content, all ad-free. We got shows, we got Traveler, Call of Cthulhu, Delta Green, Pathfinder 1, Pathfinder 2, you name
it. Cyberpunk Red.
Cyberpunk Red. Check it out, join the niche. Another thing I want you to do, I want you to follow us on Instagram at the Glass Cannon Network or at the Glass Cannon. What the fuck is it? At the Glass Cannon?
I don't Instagram?
Know. Just Google.
Instagram is the Glass Cannon, I believe.
At Glass Cannon Pod?
At the Glass Cannon.
At the Glass Cannon.
We're easy to find. Just do it.
The Glass Cannon on Instagram.
Thank
the Glass
you.
Cannon.
It was in my head. I knew it. And then it just sounded shitty. Also, some of you have already been doing this, and it's really great. Follow us and don't follow us. I can't even fucking talk today. We haven't recorded in weeks. I want you to download and review our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And you guys are doing it. I'm seeing all these great new reviews come in.
Yeah.
And it works the fucking algo. We're going boop, 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 up the charts. More people are discovering. Keep doing that. We really appreciate it. And the last of the four things that I need you to do is
subscribe to YouTube.
Thank you. Boom. Subscribe. You're watching this.
Winner, winner, chicken.
Boop, subscribe. Boop.
He did it.
And then hit like while you're at it.
Hit that bell.
Is there a bell?
It's a little bell button.
Yeah, you click that bell. For
you got to get notifications whenever we post something.
Boom.
Ding that bell.
Get those notes on. Yeah. I don't want to give them too many instructions.
Well,
but thank you for those of you.
They're smart people.
Yeah, they are.
They can handle it.
They can handle it.
Smart crowd.
I got a big coffee here.
I can
coffee?
See and just-
Quite large.
Is that just a cold brew?
No. No, it's iced coffee. Oh. It's an iced coffee. It's black and it's delicious. I don't like cold brew. I want a bucket of ice in my coffee, even though it's 45 degrees.
Have I offended you? What's wrong with cold brew?
I don't like it. Too fancy. Don't need it. Give me an iced coffee.
Okay.
I watched you order a pumpkin spice latte before. I don't think you can say anything about fancy.
You are the fanciest.
That is not fancy.
Of fancy men.
That is just delicious. You have to customize the order, though. You don't need all that sugar. Just one less pump.
I like a black coffee. A black iced coffee. Yeah.
You do? Is it all year round for you? Or you just wait, finally, spring has sprung, you're like, oh,
no.
Time for my iced coffee.
The other way.
Oh.
Hot coffee all year round.
Oh.
And on occasion, I'll do an, like on a really hot day, I'm like, I can't walk outside and drink this hot, I'll do an iced coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're a cold You're a cold coffee year-round guy?
I'm a little bit of everything. I like having three hot cups in the morning.
Okay.
And then I switch to the giant iced.
Okay.
For the second half of the day. Once a week, I'll treat myself to a little Starbucks situation during the holidays.
Okay, a little peppermint something special.
A little peppermint mocha. They brought back gingerbread latte. They finally got my emails. Wait till eggnog comes back next year. I got to go to Canada to get that.
Eggnog coffee?
Eggnog latte. It was delicious. Lattes. I don't know why they got rid of it, but the sugar cookie latte, delicious.
Because it's killing people.
You just got to...
I know. It's,
I would assume.
I wonder why the nation is diabetic.
I forgot.
You got to customize your order. You don't need that many squirts. Joe knows.
No one knows better than Joe about
enough squirts.
Regulating your number of squirts.
We're limiting our pumps from here on out.
Yeah, no more. that's what I call him. Two pump Joe.
Two pump Joe. Two squirt Joe.
I was wondering. Now it all to make sense. I was wondering why people called him
got that high school nickname.
I said two pump Joe out loud, and I hate that I said it. I hate that. And then I looked you in the eyes.
Of course you said it.
I hate that I said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were going to say something.
I would like to share a 5-star review that I found on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, please do.
Is it really 5-star?
It is a 5-star review.
Because there's some mean ones.
Yeah, is it a backhanded 5-star review or a regular 5-star review?
5 stars. Here is the title.
Okay.
Not bad.
Hey!
Here is the text of the review.
Hey!
Wait for the whole review.
Bad is bad. So, I mean, this is good.
Not bad.
Here's the text of the review. Pretty good.
5 stars. You did the assignment.
That's exactly what we want people to do.
That's all we need.
You don't have to like spend your whole day composing a review. Just do that, and we're
not
good.
Bad. Pretty good.
You helped.
Yeah, working the algo.
Thank you.
And people know.
Thank you.
That
you
we're
loquacious
not bad.
Bastard.
Less Sydney, please. 5 stars.
5 stars. Not bad. Pretty good.
Not bad. Pretty good.
I think we improved from the writing of the subject until the writing of the comment.
Yeah.
I remember I got a paperback in high school and I got an A on the paper. And I went to talk to, at one point I was talking to the teacher about it and I referenced the paper and she goes, yeah, that paper wasn't really very good. And I was like, I'm very confused.
She just didn't feel like grading. I was like, he usually gets A's.
Well written, bad.
Were you at an Ivy League school or something?
No, like
why?
I don't
justify.
Know.
You did the work to get in here. Your grades no longer matter. Remember grades?
Oh.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. Remember being judged?
Yeah. I liked being graded.
You like being graded?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like the competitive aspect of it, but I don't miss like having to
do that.
Well,
I don't miss
work.
The stress.
Yeah.
You know what I loved was pop quizzes.
You liked a pop quiz.
I loved a pop quiz. So I was like, yeah, bring it.
Right.
Every time. Everyone was like, oh, this is horrible. I have nightmares about pop quizzes. Like, I loved it every time.
Well, pop quizzes favor people who have great memories. So if you have
sauce
great memory,
for the goose, Mr. Well, Savick.
I would disagree. I would say a pop quiz favors people who can retain information over long periods of time. And like a test you study for is your memory. Because all you do is cram for a test, but a pop quiz is like, hey, have you been listening this week? Because like, this is just stuff we talked about yesterday.
The bar was lower for a pop quiz, like I felt like. And so I was more...
You seem confused. You know what I'm saying?
Because I think
you said the same thing right. He said.
I said it favors people who have memory. And you're
better
like, no. It favors people who have memory.
No.
You just said
you
it with
said
like
it favors people
tone.
Who remember what they've been told.
You said it fancy.
No.
You said it fancy with two pumps.
No, Skid knows what I mean. Skid knows what I mean. I think standardized testing like favors people who can just cram and memorize things. Whereas a pop quiz is like, have you been paying attention and do you have an understanding
of a subject? A regular test favors studiers, which I was not.
Okay.
And pop quiz is like, just the
memory.
But the bar was lower. The bar,
they're both
like,
memory. They're both. Stop they're saying both memory. But, stop saying memory.
Well, I hope you've been paying attention because there's going to be a pop quiz right after this quick squirt.
Oh God!
Yes.
Jesus.
Yay!
Did I say squirt?
Let's take a moment here to thank one of our sponsors for this episode of the GCP, and not just any sponsor, an indie RPG sponsor. Come on, my favorite. Huckleberry RPG has sponsored this episode. Huckleberry RPG is a Weird West RPG that I highly recommend you check out. I've gotten the book myself. I've read through it and it is awesome. You play what they call a maverick, which is, your character, all different kinds of mavericks. And you are out there hunting, slaying monsters in a completely chaotic world twisted by this mysterious ever-present force called the weird. I mean, look, I'm just going to read from the book straight out of the book. I'm looking at it right now. When you are creating a character, it says right off the gate, make a young gunslinger adorned with devil's horns, a suave gambler with a touch of the fae, or a wandering snake oil salesperson with a hankering for drinking blood. I mean, come on with this. It sounds really interesting. And I urge you to check it out. It is a classless RPG. You build your character from scratch in the way that you want to build it. It's inspired by iconic films like Tombstone, with a little bit of the folkloric dread of like a Hellboy. And it has a very narrative first system. Rules can be learned in like 20 minutes. Anyway, I highly recommend you check it out. Go to huckleberryrpg.com/preorder and use code GCP5 to get $5 off. That's huckleberryrpg.com/preorder and use code GCP5 for $5 off. Thank you, Huckleberry, for sponsoring us. I hope you guys can go check them out.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
The Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place, or it's the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. The Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. Vulgar History's new season is all about the Regency era, the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal. Listen to Vulgar History Regency Era wherever you get podcasts.
We're back! Pop quiz! Who are our two sponsors? Sydney!
First off, we've got our favorite, you love them, you know them, Norse Foundry.
Oh,
for all
right.
Your random number generating needs. That was a two. Next up, we've got Foundry VTT. Mm. Do you love virtual tabletops? You should, because the one we use is the best out there.
Boom.
Boom.
Nailed it.
Right.
You don't even need me.
It wasn't hard.
I'm going to go listen
Sydney,
to Christmas
do you,
music.
Are you familiar with the open beta of Ember? Foundry's Ember.
Why don't you
explain to them what Beta Phase 2 is like?
Okay, Beta Phase 2, we're going deeper.
This is sad.
We're going deeper.
Well, you know what? I'll kick it back to you.
I don't
you.
Like the way you said deeper.
I'll kick it back to you, Joe.
You offended Two Pump Joe.
I was... Stop. I was there for Ember Beta Phase 1, and we got
you were there for Beta Alpha.
Beta Alpha.
You were there earlier.
We got to play.
Beta Alpha?
Beta Alpha?
Did I say Beta Alpha? Alpha? You were there for Phase
Beta Alpha.
Alpha.
That's a lot. She pledged.
She pledged.
I got hazed.
We're rushing Ember this week.
Tell us, Joe, about this thing before Sydney ruins it.
Yeah, no, I want to hear what Phase 2 is like, because
well,
Alpha
I said,
was dope.
I think it was like a month ago, I said that the beta was out for the Kickstarter backers. And then I said sometime in December, this is now December, mid-December, and now you can just buy into the beta.
Oh,
so
you
if
can.
You never backed it, you can just buy in. And it's like a year-long campaign
that
you can play right now.
We had a blast with it.
It's incredible.
In the studio. I think this thing is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, the best mix I've seen between like a video game RPG and a tabletop RPG. Like, meshed into one thing.
So well made.
A lot of fun, unique elements that you don't see in a lot of role-playing games, like the tableaus, or what do they call
it? Yeah, the tableaus, yeah.
It's really cool.
Oh, and they have a, I was talking to Andrew about this the other day. I'm not sure if it's 100% in the beta, but they have an actual, completely random, dynamic weather system. That he is like about.
We talked about.
He was like in development. And he's like, it's really working now. Like,
that's very cool.
Changes
in,
randomly
in Alpha.
And it affects like bonuses and the math and stuff. Like, and it's all baked in like for the GM.
It in Alpha, I remember awesome. There was one time where we all just went, oh, is it raining?
Yeah,
and it was just like raining in the map. It was so cool.
That was fun. You know, weather. There's a whole weather thing in Shadowdark. Do you guys big on weather? Do you like weather? Does that help?
I'm a big weather
you?
Guy. Big weather guy.
I think it's important.
You like weather? Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just make
in
it
in general
up,
or in our in storytelling.
Yeah. Are you a weather guy? Or you're like rain, shoot, or you're like
You mean in? I'm sorry. In real life or in the in games?
I'm kind of going back and forth.
I think the second one.
You like weather.
I love weather.
All weather?
All weather.
We go outside, it's freezing sleet. You're like, awesome.
I love dramatic weather. If it's like one thing for like 2 weeks, then you get tired of it. Yeah. But I love the change.
Glass Cannon has taken a stance on this.
Yeah.
We are all pro weather.
Pro weather.
I think my least favorite of all the weathers, besides destructive weather.
Careful.
Which is obviously the worst.
We just took
a stance.
You're
going to get canceled.
I think my...
Careful.
I have no comment on my weather likes.
That's the safest thing.
I think my least favorite weather is here on the East Coast. It's usually late November, early December. And it's when there's that like spitty, like misty rain that is like sideways and blowing into your face at 36 degrees.
Yeah.
Like, you don't like
that. To me is like, that is the worst. Like an umbrella doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. A rain jacket doesn't do anything because it's flowing sideways.
And it's so cold,
but it's not snow. It's like, that's the only weather I'm like, hard pass.
We're recording this in November. It snowed where I live yesterday. You guys get snow?
We got flurries.
Little flakes.
We got little flakes everywhere,
I did I was in my daily constitutional. I was engaged. I walked from my apartment to Citi Field. I do that every day. And it started snowing. It was magical.
Yeah.
Aww. Great.
It's just, yeah.
First of the season.
Love snow.
Yeah. Wintertime. Speaking of snow, next week is Christmas. So we're taking a week off from this show, but we will be back the following week and I will be sad.
Which is New Year's Day?
New Year's Day.
So this is our last episode of the year.
Last episode of the year.
Oh my God. That's up in 2025.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Episode 7. That's, we got to do something special like a death or something. Or TPK.
Wait.
Hold on. I don't know. We got to mix it up. Sweeps.
I mean, I think this is the guy to do it. This guy that we're coming up
with. Yeah, that's
why. Oh, can we talk?
He seems like a TPK
good
kind
Seguru.
Of guy.
I think it's time for you to do a recap of last week's sesh.
Incredibly unfair. As every other recap happened immediately after we recorded. And it's been actually a few weeks since we recorded. I believe that last episode, and I could be wrong about this, was the feast with the... with the fairies, with the fae creatures.
The fae fairy feast.
And the fae fairy feast and the reveal of so many, at least a couple, scandalous lies within the fucking party. So from what I recall, the fae creatures, their goddess, Titania, sort of demanded certain sacrifices or performances, and then there was a crazy performance with a lot of creepy stuff.
Maybe people
that might have been the previous episode.
Yeah, it was, then the end. Yeah,
yeah, and then this last episode started with us having to perform by drinking from goblets, and it compelled us in one way or another, depending on a save. Do we call it a save?
A roll. Yeah.
Depending on a roll, to either be forced to be truthful or not. And in my case, mine was the future, was predicting the future. And I predicted victory for all of us. And the goddess or whoever was like, stop lying. And I was like, certain death. And they were like, you win. Right. Then
and you were the only one that made the roll successfully. So you actually had the ability to choose. So it was interesting that you were optimistic and then the pessimism set in.
Yeah, the reality I feel like set in of what we're all kind of destined for. And I said a relatively soon violent death. And that's, I think, kind of lingering in Warg's conscious as well. Pharaoh got up there and what did you say, Skin?
I can't remember.
Okay. Because you revealed that when the soldiers came for you.
Oh, right. Your cowardice.
Oh, yes.
Huge reveal. Huge, yeah.
Yeah, that your brother had tried to fight against them and you surrendered rather than fight and your brother died right in front of you. Horrible. Yeah. Horrible!
And not only that, but you had to kind of give in to their demands.
Yeah, they wanted you to like spit on him, horrible. Yeah.
So bad. And then Saint got up there and said, revealed his real name.
I picked the mirror, the like self-reflection one without even knowing. And yeah, he had to talk. He had to tell the truth about who he was.
Yeah. So we got a real name. What was it again? Real name?
I know my name.
You know your name.
I know my name.
You made it definitely.
Leoric Beckett.
That's right. Leoric.
Beckett.
Why did he change his name? What kind of shady shit is he into?
He was.
Why has Pharaoh seen Saint before?
My theory is that you are Samuel Beckett's great grandson, and you didn't want to trade on his name.
Yep. Wow. That's it.
And then the big one, at least for my character, is seeing Ellison Ricks get up there and admit that he fought for the Ordos, the other side of our conflict, the enemy of the League, of which I was a soldier, and so this was like. What? Not only a wizard, but an enemy wizard. And Was there anything else in particular?
No, that was pretty much it.
So he'd been hiding that he was a part of that. But he, you also said that you were conscripted, forced to join. The soldiers came and made you join.
Yep.
And then at the end of the feast, we all got a boon for our honesty, except we had to give up two boons if we wanted to help the children get rid of their lycanthropy. And Ellison and Warwick volunteered to give up their boons in order to help the children. And the children, it seems, are cured of lycanthropy. Mm-hmm. And then we had, and then we decided to move along. We were going to take the kids back to Marin's Hold at least to start, right?
Yes.
On our way to take them home to West, I forget the name of the village.
Westworld?
Westworld, yes.
It's called Westworld.
No, it's not called Westworld. We keep calling it that. It's Wood.
No, I call it Westwood, but it's, which is a town in New Jersey.
Wardenwood.
Wardenwood.
I knew it was a wood. But I'll help you.
To Wardenwood. And on the way, I believe the last thing that happened is before setting camp, in the evening, we stumbled across a lone campfire. Saint said, stay back. Went up, rolled a nat 20 on a stealth check. And when you got up there, you saw a huge, what looks like warrior of some kind in heavy armor with
barbed
heavy armor with spikes on the ball fronts, a helm set down by the side. And I don't remember.
And a giant sword.
And a giant sword. And was
he was looking at a fire, so I can't see their face.
He was just looking at the fire, and that's where we ended.
That's where we ended.
Seems like a,
let's get some caps.
A dangerous dude.
Caps, caps,
I want to. I want to bring up a couple of rules.
In lieu of the caps,
before we do the caps.
Oh.
All right. So you heard that? No caps today.
No.
I think we should.
That was the first rule Skid suggested.
I think we should have a cap. Cap. I think that we should.
We cap. Cap.
Three caps. We can only hold three caps at one time.
Wow.
I like this.
Why?
That sounds like a Joe O'Brien rule.
Why?
We'll spend an episode.
I have been dying to say this.
We'll spend an episode just role playing and like not even doing any actual like dice rolls and we'll earn a cap. And so like I have four now. Like this is ridiculous.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to sacrifice one.
Oh, Skid, come on.
No.
Don't do it.
Okay. This is counter to the spirit of the game, I think, like hoarding caps.
All right. So three max.
Three max.
Okay. Swear to
pulp God. Mode, just so we know, it's like straight from the book. Pulp mode is no max cap.
Okay.
But no one in pulp mode plays for 1 hour at a time.
Exactly.
Fact.
Yeah. There's playing in like 6 hour sessions or whatever, which we don't really do.
And I don't award.
So I think we can do a cap at three.
Okay.
I also would like to suggest, so we do have the like guaranteed one casting before you lose the spell every day. I think we should limit that. This isn't an issue yet, but I think we should limit that to tier one spells.
Interesting.
So if we get up to tier two, you fail the roll first thing before you cast it, it's gone for the
day. How about when you get to tier three, then you could do that with tier one and tier two or something?
I think that was our old thing.
I think we should just limit it to tier
Interesting.
One.
Okay. Now, what have you been doing in your free time that has led you to these discussions? Have you started a Shadow Dog campaign of your own, Skid?
No, I made...
You're two-timing us?
I was reading the YouTube comments and people made some strong suggestions.
Oh, interesting. So, okay.
There was one other thing. It may come to me, but...
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, Shadow...
Oh, that was the other thing. So for level ups, some people rightly pointed out that our usual system of like rolling twice, the GM rolling, the player rolling for the HP, taking the better, that's basically the dwarf's ability.
Yes.
So we would be kneecapping dwarves.
Be dwarfing the ability.
They're short enough as it is. We don't need to do that. I think we should just not.
So dwarves roll three times?
Dwarves roll twice with the rest of us roll once.
Okay. Wow.
That's what I think.
All right. So you heard Skid. No caps anymore.
Okay.
That's your takeaway?
That was what I got.
All right. After all that, that's
I'll give the three of you caps. Unfortunately, this kid doesn't want a cap.
I have three already.
I'm at my max.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, would you mind returning my cap for
Boom
me?
Boom sauce.
Definitely.
Are you at three, two?
Yeah.
Somebody's cheating.
Joe's got five.
Joe. I'm at five.
You're at five?
Yeah.
You're just going to hold on to those?
Well, I mean, I think I'm grandfathered in.
Skid has given back two caps. You're on hold on five.
All right.
Wow. Okay. Well, it certainly will make you spend them. That's for sure. But man, all right. It was nice knowing you guys.
Caps must flow.
Caps
must flow.
Must flow. It's the spice of Dune. What was I going to say? I forgot. What do you guys want to do?
Oh, I want to play. Let's
I
go.
Play.
Let's
play.
Let's play.
Okay.
Shadow Dog.
Okay. Fuck, there was something I wanted to say. Anyways, okay. That's the situation. You're there, Saint. You're at this, you know, 20 yards away or so, sneaking through, not making a sound. In the night, the children, not too far away, newly cured.
Yeah.
You know what? Also, I wonder, give you guys a retroactive XP for the blessing that you received from Titania and the sacrifice you made. That is a retroactive XP for that. It mentions in the book the other ways to earn XP are to get blessings and stuff like that. And so the blessing from Titania, I think that's a great opportunity. And also the selfless act that you two did.
Yeah, could I pitch more than one XP?
No.
But I mean, where are you coming up with this?
It's one XP. That's what I feel that's good for
them. I feel like a boon from a god is so insanely valuable.
More so than a pearl we found.
That it's way more than one victory point.
But you got the boon.
Three minimum.
You got the boon, too.
We didn't.
Right, but that's how the game works. It's like it's representing your strengthening.
Yeah. We get to keep the treasure.
Yeah, you get to keep the treasure.
So I agree with you.
You guys went to bed with zero. Now I get one.
We have two.
Guys, all he wants is caps and XP.
We have two XP.
I'm just saying, I've been doing a lot of like...
Soul Searching.
Looking into Shadow Dark and like the XP, from what I understand, is supposed to relate to the value of what you've received. The more you receive, right, the more XP you get.
Yeah. We all value things differently.
So like blessings from God like for you are similar to an emerald.
That's
right. single gem.
A 10 single, gold.
A single gem.
Right. Blessing from a God. That's fair. One XP though.
So like as a pearl versus a pearl of great price.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Pearl of wisdom. What do you do?
I was saying before we started that I was nervous about this encounter because the way that you ended that last episode, you got in my head. I'm thinking about it, Troy. And I said, I don't want to do this. If this is an encounter, I don't want to fight this guy. Joe said, you're metagaming. And I said, no. Saint also would not interact. He would immediately pull back from this guy.
Don't you want to at least try to steal his sword?
So badly. So badly.
Did you say why I said you were metagaming? I said you were metagaming because you said you were like, because the way Troy said, you're so lucky you rolled a natural 20 on that stealth check.
Yes, because I have a feeling, this is my metagame, I have a feeling that this is so far ahead of us. This is level who knows what. So, but Saint also would not do this alone. So he is going to go back to the group. There's also kids at our fucking camp.
Mm-hmm. But
he's going to go back and he's going.
What do you think of the children?
He is going to immediately give the high sign of turn the lantern off, turn the torch off, cover your mouth. And he's going to gather the group and relay this information, giving all the details that he possibly can. How tall does he think this guy is? He was sitting down, but 6 foot?
Over 6 feet.
He is over 6 feet. Heavily armored.
The spiked armor, is that reminiscent of any particular group?
Or? Yeah, I described the armor. I described the sword and the helm shape.
Maybe during the battles you fought, you may have seen warriors armored as such, but you don't know if they were mercenaries, if they belonged to a certain banner. It is usually reserved to instill fear in the opponent.
And the... The strangest part was he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't eating. He wasn't looking around. That's not someone who's worried about being snuck up on. He was just staring.
Were you seen?
No.
A sword. What did it look like?
And I describe this sword. And you said, I believe it's... it wasn't a bastard sword. It was a... Just a large greatsword.
Greatsword?
Two-handed.
It was a greatsword, yeah.
Two-handed.
I believe it was greatsword.
Yeah, I said a huge sword in my notes. And his armor was blacker than coal. It was... I don't know. I wouldn't sleep here if I were here alone. And he kind of looks towards the children who are off by our little makeshift camping area.
What if he's not? If he doesn't seem concerned, maybe there's an opportunity to take something useful. Take the sword. You're our burglar. Do some burgling.
Pharaoh, I don't want to take that sword.
None of us want to take the sword, but I think we have to.
And he looks over at Warwick.
Is the sword black? Is the blade black? Shiny.
Was it shiny?
It seemed to glint.
Almost like glass.
In the firelight.
I couldn't tell. It was next to him. It looked like it was reflecting. Sword. It's a sword. You want to take that?
Good sword, probably. It's probably a good sword.
Well, you take the sword, you take the risk. I mean, we have to vote on it. That's our agreement, yeah?
I think Sage should do it.
Why are you saying my name?
Because you're the burglar.
No, I'm not interested in stealing the man's sword if it is his. But if it's not, I'd like to know. I'd like to know if he took it, stole it.
So you want to talk to him, walk into his camp, ask him how he is, share food with him, break bread? Is that what you want to do?
There's four of us. What are you so afraid of?
I'm not afraid.
Clearly, you're afraid. What do you want to do? Just ignore that this man exists?
I want to get
that he's wearing strong armor and has a powerful sword?
I want to get the kids back to the city. I want to get paid for our job that we did. I don't want to get distracted or have my arm cut off miles away. If you do, fine, then we'll take a vote. And he looks around at everybody. Who votes? We go over and talk to him. Real nice.
I do. I want to see this sword. I want to make sure it's not the sword I'm looking for. If it's not, we'll move on.
And who votes?
You can get close enough to tell me that, then we don't have to talk to him. But it's going to be hard to see. It's dark. Firelight. It's not going to be easy.
I think the risk is too great. He's not interested in us. We don't have to be interested in him. We go. We spend the night and we leave. We don't incur the risk. We've got children to think about now.
I'm with Ellison. And Saint raises his hand.
I think you should take it. I think Saint should go and take the sword. It's a perfect opportunity.
Okay, well, now we're tied in a four-way.
As I said before, doesn't work.
Let the children decide.
Yeah, they get a single vote.
Right. Yeah,
they can debate amongst themselves and return with one voice.
I'm very hungry.
They're like Roman consuls.
Saw no horse.
Nope.
No other companions.
Nope.
All right, look, it's a risk. If you're not willing to take the risk, then fine, we'll move on.
Why not just wait? Watch him. Wait till he goes to sleep.
It's true. It's only one of them.
We should have a watch anyway. If you want to do that. Okay. So we stay here and we set up a watch.
Yeah. Keep an eye on him.
How far away was
he? Safe distance.
Maybe about 30 or so yards off the path.
So no fire. We don't light a fire.
We can't do a fire.
And we keep an eye on his fire and see when he goes to bed.
You go deeper into the forest, or
yeah, we might need to put a little distance between us. I mean, he's a badass knight. Presumably, has some sort of code of chivalry or something that would prevent him.
You think he's a knight?
That's true. Because he's wearing a knight's armor. That's all we know.
He never said knight's armor.
I said armor, spiky armor.
He said
spiky black armor.
Oh, you know, you did say knight. You see a knight with blackened plate mail, barbs on the mail. Well, I mean, that was our presumption, though. Like, I don't know, he might not be a knight. Could have stolen that armor.
Could have stolen it.
You said he said knight's armor?
I wrote down.
And then you said presumption.
I wrote down that, but we're presuming from the armor. Like, he might not be a knight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So who is doing first watch?
I'll do it. I'll wake you up if he goes to sleep.
And I'll just try to keep my distance and just watch. It's going to be hard to see, but maybe if the fire goes low, maybe if he obviously walks into a tent or something. Was there a tent?
Mm-hmm. He was just sitting. I explained it to you in full that, like, no food, no tent, no horse.
Right, but you weren't there for 8 hours.
No.
Right? So, like, there...
Didn't see supplies, just sitting at a fire like this.
Right.
Psycho. Saint goes to bed and he goes, insane people do that. Wake me up.
Okay. So you guys don't make a fire and just sleep out under the stars, taking a watch. What's the watch order? Is it around the table this way, or you want first watch?
Around the table this way.
Okay.
Around the table.
Everything's clockwise.
Okay. Okay. What do you do on your watch? Because you've been outvoted, and you're just staring in the distance, and you see this, like, flickering campfire. You see that little glow of a light that lets you know that the fire is still there, but you cannot see the figure from that distance.
Can't see the figure at all.
No. It's from time to time, the flame, like, something moves in front of it that leads you to believe that maybe he's moving around, but I would say if you want to be far enough away, the best you're going to see is that lone light through the trees.
Mm.
Unless you want to get right up on him.
Yeah, I'll stay here. I'm wearing heavy armor and stuff. I'm not going to try to sneak up there.
Okay.
So I just watch the fire and see if it goes completely dark, in which case I'll wake up Saint.
Okay. Give me a wisdom roll.
That's going to be a 6.
The Dalai Lama over here.
Cool.
You're sitting there watching the flames and looking over children soundly sleeping, your companions on the ground. You're cold. Probably a little hungry. And you feel a point in the small of your back.
Where is your fire?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Hey, Warwick, just a traveler on the road?
Not so loud. No reason to wake up your friends. Warwick.
We've got children. We're escorting them back.
I see.
To their home.
Yes. Very dangerous out here. Where is your home?
My home's really far from here. But we're staying at Marin's Hold. A few days' journey to the south.
Marin's Hold. What kind of place is that?
Sir, I don't know. It's just a place where folk are gathering that have survived the war.
Why do you sleep without a fire? Are you too good for the flames?
No, we are just... Like you said, it's dangerous out here on the road, is all. We're trying to keep a low profile.
All the more reason to let the fire protect you.
Protect us from what? We had a fire and the wolves came right through it. Didn't matter.
There are worse things than wolves out here.
What things that fire will keep away?
Fire is a powerful force. It burns, yet it heals. I used to fear the fire until I was bathed in it. Now, I see the truth.
And what truth is that?
Oh, you will see it in time. For the flames are coming for you, just as they did for me.
What do you want? What do you want with us? We mean you no harm. We're not trying to hurt anyone.
Good. But perhaps you should rethink your choices. It's a dangerous world. Men like me would kill you for sport. So, let me ask you this.
You'd stab a man in the back? There was no sport in that.
There was a time when I would. But that man is dead. And I have been reborn anew in flames. Killing you now would be redundant, because in my eyes, you're already dead. I've watched the world end more times than I can count. In flames, in famine, in the slow grind of despair. And when I look at the likes of you, I no longer see life. I see corpses walking toward the inevitable.
Kill him. Turn around and start killing him.
Why don't you kill him?
What are you doing?
The blade. Very distinct advantage.
I'd say like you've felt this point against your back, and it like starts to press in ever so much and then releases. And he just, with a voice like rusted iron, is like, go.
The world would just finish what I'd start. I am on a different path now.
Who are you? What is your name? What can we call you?
I was once known as Hadrick Dawn. But that man is dead. I have been reborn in the flames, in a world where names are as fleeting as desires. A voice from the flames calls out to me, and I must follow. Good evening.
You hear rustling and the sound of movement walking further away from you.
I snap my head around. I want to see this silhouette. Is this the barbed warrior?
You see in the moonlight warrior? Just this like hulking figure in this blackened armor with spikes, and on his head is a helm that has like chipped bull horns coming out of it. And you can see in the moonlight on the side of his face is all like scarred and burned. And he's just got this long sword. It's like really, really huge long sword. Almost looks like a great sword, but it really is a long sword. And he's just walking away from you.
Okay. Wake up. Saint. Hello. Wake up.
No, what?
He was here. He was here. Your armored warrior. He spoke to me. I never saw his face.
What did he want?
He spoke in a cryptic way. Said that he's seen the world end many times, and that he had no interest in killing us because we were dead already. And then he just walked off into the night.
Do we need to move?
Does the name Hadrick mean anything to any of you? Hadrick,
was it Dawn or Dorn?
Dorn.
Hadrick Dorn. Does the name mean anything?
No. Didn't sound like it meant anything to him either.
He said that it was once his name, but he was reborn in flames.
Does that mean anything to us? Like,
is there some sort of religion?
Religion or something?
Sounds culty and weird.
Yeah.
But he was traveling alone.
I don't know how he snuck up on me. And especially, armor clad as he was, I never heard a thing. And suddenly there was a point in my back.
Insane. Realizing that they're not in danger, this guy's gone, Saint just kind of like chuckles under his breath a little bit. So did you get your sword?
I mean, that wasn't it. I saw it. I saw the sword, and that's not it, right?
Like, that wasn't it.
What did he want? What did he tell you?
He told me that anything we care about, anything we want to do, is meaningless. That our pursuits are fleeting, and we're all just corpses waiting to die.
Well, There's no arguing about that. I mean, if you wanted to kill us, we were all lying here asleep. You had you with a blade in your back. Might as well just build a fire now and get sleep the rest of the night.
That's the other thing. He said that we were fools for trying to sleep without a fire.
We are.
He said that a fire could protect us from something. But he didn't say what.
Let's build a fire then.
Saint starts to gather wood and stuff, just like sleepy, and starts to build a fire.
He said there was a time he would have killed us, but he'd been reborn. Sounds strange to me. Some sort of witch. Cult? I don't know.
Pharaoh, is that ringing a bell?
No.
Then, no, I don't. Look, there's no point. There's no point milling over this.
Let's get some rest.
Sit
out in the morning.
He's going to kill us. But that's, he had his chance. Maybe he'll change his mind. Hope he doesn't.
Well, I can't sleep. Not now.
I can.
So you get some rest.
Yeah, Saint goes back to bed. Yeah.
We all go back to bed.
And yeah, I'll do another watch, basically. He needs a couple hours to even calm down.
Double eyes.
Looking over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Blade right in his back, like that was it. He could have ended you. Okay, so far from any sense of home, and even far from Marin's hold, you...
Yeah, that was the other thing. It's like he didn't know about Marin's hold.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to care about anything kind of
corporeal
or material.
But I mean, it's like he didn't know this land specifically, but he knew so much, but didn't know Marin's hold.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's probably for the best.
Maybe he's a ghost.
Antagonize him.
Yeah.
Maybe he's undead.
Maybe. Haunting.
Said he'd been reborn.
Well,
that point felt very real, I'll tell you that much.
All right, so maybe he's undead.
An undead warming himself by the fire nearby.
Mm.
Well, maybe.
If you're cold, they're cold.
Bend off the creatures.
Perhaps. Yeah. Clearly loves
food. He wasn't eating.
Yeah, that's true.
But he likes fire.
Maybe he's undead.
The name has no meaning to him anymore. We're all corpses to him. We go to bed.
Sleep.
Hunkshu.
Sleep. You dream. You awaken in the early morn. Remove rations as needed.
Oh, yeah.
And let me know where you would like to head the next.
Did we make a decision on if we wanted to go north around or just follow the road back down?
Where we landed was we're going to follow the road and try to hit hexes we did not.
Right. Okay. I couldn't remember.
And get a glimpse of other hexes in case we'd spot.
So
story-wise, walk through the woods as opposed to the path.
Yeah, because we hadn't seen those hexes yet.
Yeah, so I guess we'll go...
You guys don't talk in hexes to each other.
No.
I guess we should go...
We hadn't explored off the road.
Yeah. Further to the east, then, is our plan for when we wake up.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to go to the hex to the southeast.
Indeed.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonder if you will see anything when you go that way. Let's find out after this.
I wonder if I'll see anything. There's nothing here.
Everybody, it's me, Skidmar, as seen on the internet, here to talk to you about Othera from Crit Heads Gaming. Crit Heads Gaming is a U.S. veteran-owned small business focused on classical gaming adventure module writing. Old wounds fester as the elves of Othera conduct a shadow war to reclaim land and honor lost in a war 150 years ago, which threatens a new world war. The only thing in the way is a party of accidental heroes. Their debut adventure module, Othera Cataclysm, is a two-book adventure module. It's a new adventure module set in a new world with all new lore, written by a new business. Steampunk meets sword and sorcery is how it is described, which is something that I actually really like. I look at our Arcanum and some Michael Moorcock stuff. It's like I'm into that. And the book has everything you need to intro your table to Othera. It's available in three variants: Shadow Dark, Castles and Crusades, and a system agnostic variant that uses an intuitive 1-10 scale, with 5 being average. So it's easy to play in any TTRPG system, even non D20 systems. Crit Heads is exclusive Available exclusively on DriveThruRPG. Just search Critheads Gaming at DriveThruRPG.com. Steel yourself for the Cataclysm and pick up Othera Cataclysm today.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
We're back. Let's move you on the map and see if it reveals anything.
Wait, don't.
No, I'm doing it.
Wait, I forgot to say something. Okay. Do you remember?
Yes.
GCP20 holiday code for Norse Foundry?
No.
It's been so successful.
Really?
That they're extending it two more days.
Oh, my God.
So you can still use it.
Until December 20th.
Stop.
GCP20. Oh. Just
shit.
Forgot to mention
that's
it
too much power.
Holy.
Yeah.
No fuck. One man should have all that power.
GCP amazing. Fans get special treatment so, by the crazy. Norse Foundry.
When you're right now listening to this, watching this and going, oh, shit, I didn't get something for them yet.
Right.
Use the code.
Boom.
You still have time.
Code GCP20.
My old aunt that doesn't understand gaming, I need to get her
yes.
a set of aluminum dice.
Yes.
Because it's 20% off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be a fool
You'd
if
be
I
a fool not to purchase
right. You can't afford not to get her those dice.
Teach your aunt how to play.
Like Aunt May, they're tungsten. Yeah. It's pure tungsten.
Like see her up on her mantle next to some Hummel figurines.
Yes. They're so pretty. All right, let's go. Here we go. See if it reveals anything. Gong, gong, gong.
Oh,
it's a pit.
It's a pit.
Shagong,
a pit of certain death.
Oh. Pit of death.
What does it look like? What is it? Tell us.
In the distance, about 6 miles away,
quarry.
You do see, some change in the landscape.
Interesting.
We have to go because what if she fell in the hole?
What if she fell in the hole?
We have to go and look. It's stupid that. It's there, but we have to go look.
Stupid that it's there.
Sometimes I don't know if you're joking.
Very stupid that it's there. But
you know what? Actually, I'm pro this because I think we should zigzag
just
so we
parents.
Can reveal more of the map.
Yeah, go in a little bit.
Miss my parents.
Oh, much. Is that, what's her name? What are their names?
I don't know.
No, I wrote them down. I wrote them down.
I can't remember.
What are their names, Sydney?
I have it in my notes. I just can't find it.
I'm reading the freaking play that you made us watch, Tatiana's play. I'm trying to go back. Oh, Marin and Barnaby.
That's right, Marin and Barnaby.
Of Marin's Hold. How could Marin's I forget?
Hold is named after her. Yes, sir. Where are you taking us?
We're taking you to a city called Marin's Hold.
That's not where we're from.
It's on the way to your city.
The city's named after me?
Yep.
Yes.
Seems like an oversight.
By
does,
someone.
It does seem like an oversight.
Seems like laziness, doesn't it?
It is a very common name. There's at least 12 like, Marins.
As if the creator of our universe is a silly, silly man.
It's like Mary. There's no Marys here. It's Marin.
Marin.
Yeah.
That was the name of the love interest in Braveheart.
Marin?
Marin.
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 We tell her that to make her feel better.
Yeah.
We talk to her about Braveheart.
Yeah, we tell her about William Wallace.
Yeah.
And explain in great detail what it means to be drawn and quartered.
I don't know what any of this means.
And by the time we're done telling her, we get to the pit.
All right, so you want to go?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Got the pit?
Yeah.
Yep.
The pit! All right, so...
Oh, my God.
Don't forget, first half of the day was exploring.
Was it that
now,
one?
So right. Now night begins to fall at as you pit. Move southwesterly.
Easterly.
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 Shut up.
Weasterly.
All right, this is actually going to be pretty intense. So let's don't get too excited. First, I'll move the piece.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh! Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's it.
There is a camp. There's some kind of camp with
tents.
A campfire tents to our southeast.
However, as night falls, there's shit going down.
What's going down?
In this hex.
Oh boy.
You see, you know, sun's setting, dipping below the horizon, still light out, still enough that you know you're going to have to camp soon. However, you see in the distance a muddy ravine, as big as a galleon, just gaping in the wet earth. And as you move closer to this, the stench of death and acrid smoke hangs in the air. You stop far enough away from this because you see several torchlights around this ravine. Six dark robed figures.
Oh no.
Are standing around this like mouth in the earth. And you see it looks like they have like a prisoner or something. Someone is being forcibly like dragged towards this site and being held down by a number of them. And you know, I imagine you're keeping your distance, so you can't see too much, but it looks like there is someone there against their will and these six robed figures holding torches.
Just don't wear a robe in the woods.
Who wears a robe? It's cold out. Cold at night.
It's just not a... Maybe they're friendly, but you don't seem friendly.
You're going to skeeve people out. If you don't have ill intentions, don't wear a fucking robe in the woods.
And don't go near the dead body pit with the robe. It just, the connection between the two. Maybe they're friendly, Matthew. You're so right.
Maybe they're the undertakers of this woods or something. But I don't think so.
Maybe they're bathrobes.
Maybe that's a bathtub.
You're a great aficionado of a bathrobe.
I love a bathrobe.
To continue painting this picture for you, to the southwest, beyond this, you know, miles away, why do I keep saying west? You do see a camp of some sort, and they are coming from that direction.
Oh, they're coming from the camp. Well,
it's an evil camp.
Shoot.
Well.
Bad camp, bad pit.
I don't like the Ellison.
Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt.
Is there?
They're hurting someone. We have to stop them.
Yeah, Ellison feels the same way.
What?
They're hurting someone. Could be our merchant.
It could be the merchant. They could be Regina.
That is not our problem.
There's six of them.
It could be our merchant.
But it could maybe not be.
They're cultists.
There's six of them.
Robed figures.
Yeah.
What are they going to do to us?
They're going
to
kill us like they killed the governor of the Fortress of Pit.
They probably have magics or dark shit.
We kill them before they can cast a spell. The longer we wait, the faster that person's going to die, I'm telling you. They're going to throw him in the pit.
Yeah, full of other bodies because they've killed.
What do you want to do? You just never want to help anyone? You never want to do anything to make this horrible place better?
I want to stay alive. I want to stay alive. That's my main thing. We can't do anyone any good if we don't do that first.
And what do we do with them? And he points to the two children. Oh, we run off.
It smells here.
I know. Shut up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Shut up.
You've been living in a werewolf cave for days. You're probably used to the smells.
Smells like the Wardenwood Abattoir.
It's not enough. It's not enough just to survive. If we're going to stay alive, we're not going to help somebody in need. What good are we?
Right, exactly. That's what we're here for.
Take another vote.
All right.
What are you voting on?
I don't know. We haven't settled on this.
Just raising your hand.
There's no time to vote.
Stop arguing. Fine.
We agreed to a vote. Help this person or not. Help her? Him?
You know what my vote is.
Okay, well then we...
Pulls out a sword. Shh.
The other one. Just put your hand down so I can vote. No.
Okay, we have one no.
Vero, how can you not want to help this person?
Because I don't know who they are. They could be bad too.
We have to find out if it's the merchant or not, or we don't get paid.
You must think about Pharaoh's admission too during the play. to sit there and watch, you know, those people get hurt, to be forced to degrade and debase himself, and now having an opportunity here to save someone chooses not to. Says a lot about Pharaoh's state of mind.
If we go, we don't run in there screaming, revealing ourselves. We sneak over. I'm not going into danger in the middle of the night, yelling my head off with a camp nearby, okay?
Or like 6 p.m.
They can't see us.
We do it quietly.
Agreed.
And if I get cut up, you heal me, okay?
That's Pharaoh. I'll have to do that.
Someone fucking heal me.
I can do it. It would just take longer.
I don't want to. Taking his crossbow off his back and loading it.
Yeah, I take my bow off, counting my arrows and my quiver.
All right, let's sneak over.
I have to talk to the kids.
Tell them to stay here.
I'm not talking to them.
Yeah, I'll turn around to the kids and say, be quiet.
Oh, monster.
You know that woman? You know that woman that came and took you? Yeah. And put you in that cave?
Yeah.
Somebody's doing something like that to this person up here, and we're going to help them. We need you to stay quiet so they don't know that we're here.
There's
all right?
Another woman putting people in the cave up here?
There's multiple people. Now, just stay silent.
How many women?
Hide in this tree. Climb the tree. Do you know how to climb a tree?
Wannabe does. I never learned.
Just put her in the tree.
Come here.
Oh.
I'll give you a boost.
Oh, the bark hurts my thighs.
Just sit there.
I'll pick her up and put her...
We put a blanket.
You know, it's
oh my God.
I can't wait.
Someone's being ritualistically sacrificed.
We hear screaming in the distance.
I'm allergic to this type of tree.
Okay.
Good luck then.
If anything happens to us, just run for the south.
All right.
If anything happens to us, you head that way. And he points. He says, until you see a road. And then you go left down the road. It'll take you to the hold. All right?
Okay.
So you just put the children in the tree. Yeah. In any other game, you know you're coming back to these children.
No, I know.
But there is a world around these children.
I'm certain we're not.
We're doing the best we can.
We're trying.
So you just leave these children.
How do we all end up so lawful in this setting?
In this, like, you know, white barked tree, and they're just like sitting there.
Oh, it's an aspen tree.
Watching.
Be a birch.
Be a birch.
And what do you guys do?
All right. We sneak off, following Saint.
I would like to sneak closer to the party, bow out, and I'm going to try to fight. If I can sneak up, I'm going to try to, you know.
All right, give me a roll with advantage, and for God's sake, roll two d20s at the same time.
Yeah, for heaven's sake.
You're driving everybody.
I mean, it's crazy that you
do. It's
Norse Foundry is threatening to cancel their sponsorship.
No. These are beautiful.
These Norse Foundry dice should not be rolled together.
Some of
they
them are
chip.
Glass, and some of them are stone. I'll roll
no
my,
glass dice.
You know what? I'll roll.
These are glass dice.
These are the glass? One yes. of the Sydney dice. I'm going to roll my beautiful Sydney dice, and I'm going to roll these wooden, ebony wood
there
ones that I
those
love.
Are safe to roll together.
Okay.
I hate that you made me do that.
Wow.
Wow. Dapping the cat.
Dapping the cat.
Wait, but I just re-roll one. Or do I re-roll?
No, you have advantage.
No, you get advantage.
Okay.
Yeah.
You get to re-roll.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Sydney.
I just said we were doing this quiet.
Wow.
What'd you roll?
I don't want to tell you because okay. I want to use that. Wait, all right. Wait. I
you
really
can
want
keep
to-
spending? On the same roll?
Yeah. You just use it to re-roll. We've talked about this.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. That's really sad.
Natural 20.
There it is. And
gotta roll one and a three. So 23.
All right. So I'll say it's...
Can I just say what I rolled before?
Yeah.
2, 7, 5, 5.
2, 7, 5, 5.
You rolled 5, 5 on the last one?
Yes.
Yeah.
That nat 20 cost you 2 caps.
Yes.
But you sneak... And I'll say the result of that nat 20 is that your party is able to stay close with you. Let's say that the forest is pretty dense in the area, except the space where these robed figures are. It opens up, the ground opens up, the smell is much worse. And as you get closer, you see that there are like three of these robed figures like holding a man down on the ground. And he's like heavily beaten and bruised and just like, he's trying to like fight a little bit, but he's pretty much given up. And they're holding him down near this like hole in the ground. And then there's two other figures that are kind of standing nearby, like on either sides, just in case he breaks out. Mm. And then there is one figure that is sort of approaching the mouth with his hands in the air. And he says, the time of ash draws near. The air burns, the forest trembles, and all creation prepares to bend to your undying flame. He's like talking into this hole and to the air around him.
Flame, huh?
This is a fire. Yeah. I'm hiring the flame again.
Accept this flesh. Accept this blood. Accept this soul unto you, O embered one. Through this sacrifice, we strengthen you. We help release your bonds and open your path. Through agony, we sing your name. And when you rise, all shall bow. And when you roar, the stars shall fall.
And they begin dragging this man towards the opening.
I am pulling back the bowstring and waiting for the moment when he stops being so frantic, and I loose an arrow aiming right at the man who was chanting.
I'm going to go ahead and give you this shot before we roll into initiative.
Okay.
I think this is...
Will goes to cast a spell and is like, okay. Put his hand back in his pocket.
Roll that shot.
15 to hit.
That is a hit.
Yes.
Okay. This is the speaking man. Yes. Hands in the air, calling them forward as they drag this man.
Okay. Oh, I wish I did more damage.
She had some sneak attack damage.
Well, I do.
You would.
I yeah, can you use my backstab. If you hit a creature who is unaware of your attack, you deal an extra weapon die.
Well,
so
now we're talking, and they are very
that
unaware.
That is going to be 6 total points.
That's not bad.
6 total points of damage. So just like hits this guy square in the back, and he's like, ah! Roll for initiative.
Oh. Okay.
6 enemies that you can see here. 3 of them holding this man down on the ground, dragging him forward. 2 on either side, and the ringleader who has just been shot in the back. Okay.
Joe, are you happy you rolled low?
Yep.
I rolled a dirty 20.
Oh, phenomenal. Oh,
nice.
Saint.
Second best possible.
You go first.
Yes! Yes! Trying to get to go first in Shadowdark.
And then, yep, just another, looses another arrow.
Right. Same guy, right?
Same guy, right. 14, 15, 16, 17 to
nice,
hit.
Nice, that's a
17
hit.
17 hit hits.
Oh, saint!
I wish he was still unaware, but now he's at 1 point of damage.
1 but that point when of damage.
He's not, oh wait, no, it is, oh wait, hold on. Plus one. No. Those added automatically in the program. So 1 point of.
1 point of damage?
I mean, why can't he be impossible. Unaware of you? Like, he's aware there's danger. He's unaware of you.
It says if you hit a creature who is unaware of your attack, but he is unaware of me. Like, he doesn't
know where you are. He doesn't know who you are. He can't see
that's
you.
Fair. But you only get 1 damage. You don't have any bonus to your damage?
No.
It's a bow.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know it's just 1d4, okay. So it's...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to let you use your sneak attack.
Yes!
Because you get to go first, and this just feels right in the moment.
2 points of damage.
There we go.
Well, that's 2 total?
Yeah.
That's very sad.
That didn't feel right.
Okay, so 2 arrows are loose in this guy. Again, 6 enemies. Capricazzo, what does Ellison Ricks do in this moment? I'm going to say you are... You're
far.
You're far.
So I can move from far to near in one action. Would I get the sense they're level 2 or lower?
I was thinking about this on
how
the
do
drive
explain
in.
This?
I feel like you shouldn't know that.
Okay.
But I can tell you that.
When we talked about this and you said, I'll just tell you, I was like.
Yeah, I was like, appalled.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
are you having an aneurysm right now?
Are you done with Troy?
Yeah, I feel like you. I just feel like you wouldn't know.
Yeah, I think that's.
I think that's fair.
You would assume some things like that's not level.
Yeah, some things you see a Balrog, you'd be like, well, I know that's not for Titania. Probably couldn't put her to sleep.
Yeah.
This one, real tweener.
Real tweener. Tweener the line.
All right. Well, this is the moment to try it. So Allison will move, keeping low. He'll rush forward and then he'll stop. His eyes will go white as the energy drains from the ground around him, and he will cast sleep on all of them.
Okay, well, this is interesting. There, you sleep lets you do how far?
It's a near cube.
Near cube, okay.
So anyone that is near to me.
Okay.
In one direction.
Curious. So. In one direction. So you're walking right up there and dropping the sleep spell.
Yeah, so I'm moving right near to them.
Okay, I would say the way that they're spread out, the ringleader and one of the other guys, you're going to be able to catch four of them with ease.
All right.
The ringleader, or you can go after the ringleader and one of the guys.
No, the ringleader got hit, so okay. Presumably he's going down sooner than around there. So okay. I'll exclude him and get the other.
All right, so that's,
and also,
that's four. I have a prisoner. Very. I'm drawing this all out, so.
The prisoner as well.
You put the prisoner to sleep. He's a Spain. Okay.
I mean, does it work?
Well,
you gotta roll.
You gotta roll a die.
Come on.
What's in it for me?
And to remember, you haven't been sleepy. You didn't roll well when you went to bed, right? So you have one.
Yeah, is it still the same
preparation?
I guess we're gonna. I have some caps, so.
Okay.
Oh boy!
I failed the
How
spell
How many caps
roll?
Do you have?
Two more.
Oh boy!
There we go.
Okay. Oh.
All right. Gets off. The spell goes off.
The spell goes off. The ground, would you say it like loses a little bit of
its
color?
I feel like the way, I don't know, I'm just riffing, but the magic in the world, it's like when you kind of draw energy from one source, so it's like he's drawing it from nature, like the grass starts to get brittle and die a little bit. You
okay,
know?
I like
this
that.
This is a concept straight from the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon.
Is it?
Yes. Oh. So Dungeon Master explains, it's just like, because he gives the powers of the Dungeon Master to Eric, the Cavalier, at one point, and he's just like, hey, oh, cool. It's just like, I'm thirsty. I'll make a water fountain. So it's like, be careful, Cavalier. When you draw water from one place, when you make water in one place, you take it from another. So it's...
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. I didn't know he was a fan. I didn't know Matthew's a fan.
I'm such a fan of something I've never seen.
All right, so the three holding this guy and the other guy that's like nearby, they all collapse.
Yes!
And that guy goes.
And he looks like he could use a rest.
Yeah, he needs
the rest.
So they all just... And the ringleader and the other guy's like, what is going on? Now they see you, but they don't see a bow in your hand. They still don't know what the hell is going on. What do you do, Warwick?
I charge at them. I've got a sword in my hand and a shield, and he's just like, aah!
So
then he just goes running at the ringleader.
Two guys are awake, including the ringleader, right?
Yeah.
And the ringleader has taken 7 points of damage.
That ringleader, dog.
8 points of damage.
Hold on.
Ringleader's taken 8 points of damage.
We have to be honest to things that we have said before. You're charging in yelling, because if we're going by his sleep spell, they are normally asleep.
Oh, right. He's just running.
Just run.
Yeah.
Wake up, everybody! I'm here now.
You're running in with all force, and now do you want to go after the ringleader or the guy that
after
hasn't been
ringleader.
Hit yet?
Ringleader. Okay. But I mean, can I reach him and hit him and swing?
Yeah, you can hit.
Oh, okay.
Because we were right. We were. That's with our natural.
I'm going to say you can get to near.
Saints
your movement allows
20.
You to get to near.
Yeah.
Well, I have to be close.
Ah, close.
So you said we were far, which to me means two moves, I think, to get there. So it's up to you if I could swing or if I have to just go up and stand next to him. Hey.
That's interesting.
I'll hit you in a second.
I'd say the ringleader you can't get to, but you could get to the other guy.
Then I'll go after the other guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go after the closest guy. He runs up and he just goes at him with...
Are they holding
weapons? What do I see when I get up close to the guy as I'm about to swing? Is it a human man?
So, human man. And his robes, they look dark because they're like... they're covered in blood and ash.
Blood and ash.
There's like blood stains and
maybe
ash.
Maybe it was an ash tree.
Maybe it was an ash
tree.
We're thinking
ash
about
tray?
The tree.
And he's standing there. It looks like he has a sickle on his belt that hasn't been pulled out yet.
Okay. He runs up and he'll swing a longsword at this guy. That is a 19.
19 hits.
To hit. Connects and does 5 points of damage.
All right. 5 points.
That would kill me.
It would kill me as well.
Okay, very, very interesting. My turn. 4 of them are down out of the 6, which is huge. But 2 of them are up. Let's start with the guy you just attacked. He's going to pull out his sickle and try and strike you.
King! Puts up the shield. Blocked it. Sweet.
Misses with a 6.
Yes.
We've done 13 damage to this guy.
No, I hit the other guy.
Yeah, the other
guy.
Oh, you
I couldn't
did,
get
I,
to
oh,
the leader.
Yeah.
The other guy, the ringleader, is like, wake up! Wake up! He yells to the other guys, who on their turn begin to stir, but then he comes up to you, close, and goes to touch you with
oh,
his
no.
hands.
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay.
Casting check.
I might know the spell he's doing, because I think I did it when I ran Shadow Dark.
Interesting.
I hope not.
I hope not.
Natty 17.
Ooh. Okay.
So he touches you and you just feel like your bones start to stiffen and like you start to get kind of tired, but not tired like sleepy, like tired like weak. Do you ever have that moment where, do you get panic attacks?
I haven't in a long time.
You haven't in a long time. Do you ever have the kind of panic attack where you feel, not like feel like you're going to die, but you have this thing where you're like kind of nodding off and you're like, oh my God, I felt like I was just going to go to sleep and never wake up. That's what that feels like.
Wow. Oh boy.
Jeez.
That's not what my panic attacks felt like, but that sounds awful.
That sounds terrible.
It's the kind of panic attack that, like, if you're in that zone and you get during like trying to fall asleep at night and you like go to fall asleep, you're like, oh my God, I feel like if I had just fallen asleep, I would die.
Oh, okay.
That's what it feels like.
Wow.
And you take 5 points of damage as the life is just sucked.
Oh my God.
Oh shit.
Okay. So two of them have been damaged. The other four are on the ground and stirring. And you see the guy's like, oh, he's got a big fat lip. His cheek is like out to here. And it's your turn, Pharaoh.
Okay. I am. So that was the ringleader that did that to him or the other
ringleader touched him.
All right.
Him.
I'm going to fire my crossbow at the ringleader.
Okay.
Come on, Pharaoh. Come on.
That is a 14.
14 hits.
Okay. Yes!
Man, that was the tweener of all tweeners.
6 points of damage.
Death.
Yes!
Yes!
Sparrow!
Yes! Nice!
Yes!
Bolt to the neck.
Just siphons this energy out of Warwick.
You stand up.
And he falls down.
And it says immediately scrambling to reload the crossbow.
Nice shot, Pharaoh.
Comes back around to Saint.
Yeah, Saint was like gonna shoot the guy again, and just the bolt hits him, and Saint looks at Pharaoh and just like under his breath, nice. And then takes a shot.
I did it.
Takes a shot at the other guy who is awake on his feet. Because
yeah.
I assume the people waking up were not coup de grace from range.
Yeah,
with
and,
an
they're,
arrow.
And they're starting to wake up.
Yeah.
This one here that's standing right next to Warwick, you want to try and take it?
Yeah, I want to help Warwick out. 17.
17's a hit.
All right.
Oh, man, you're rolling rocks.
You need big damage here.
I love this die.
I want to use a cap.
What do you...
That is the definition of a cocked die.
Okay.
Two.
Really?
Shit.
2 points.
Poo points of damage.
On a salad.
Okay. They're coming to their feet. What do you do there?
I'm going
to
cast it again.
Oh, man. Okay.
I mean, I could magic missile and kill and finish that guy off, but then we'd have four other guys to do
with
it.
With you.
I can keep them down.
Get them down.
Do
you have four attacks they go?
Okay.
So I'll trust that Warwick can handle one guy.
Come on.
All right, yeah.
Okay, and I cast sleep again.
What the fuck? awesome. All right, so this is actually...
That's actually exactly what it looks like when I try to get my son up for school. I turn around to like grab some clothes, and I turn back, and he's just completely asleep.
All right, so this is actually enormous.
Yeah, this is enormous.
You need a kill shot here, otherwise he could just rouse them.
Yeah, right. But you hit, so, gah, and then this like quarrel is sticking out of his side, and he can see that it leaves an opening, and he's just gonna run it right through his freaking. That's a miss.
Cap it.
It might not be a miss.
Cap it.
Wait, you might.
I could do worse.
Not that much worse.
I'm guessing it's like a 10 or 11.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I rolled an 11.
I think that...
So I'm not going to look at Troy's face.
I think that will miss.
You're going to look at my face.
I don't think it'll miss.
No one should look at that face.
I think it's
going to... This is not the boss. This is like one of the henchlings.
Yeah.
He rolled very poorly. So
I'm going to stick with what I have.
Okay. 11. You have 5 caps, and you're only allowed 3.
I have 3.
Okay.
I'm gonna hold it and see if that hits.
With the 11?
Yeah.
Okay. Final answer.
Final answer.
Miss.
I knew it.
Okay. It's okay. Now we know.
Is it?
That's insane, by the way. That's a high AC for a cultist.
Yeah.
He's wearing armor.
Yeah.
Or has
there is armor under?
He's probably level. He's level 2.
You can feel it when you hit with your weapon. You could feel this cling.
I'm worried.
You found a little opening. Boy. We'll be back right after this break.
God damn it!
Goodbye, Kyle.
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlatta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Maloof in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
From the darkest corners of our imagination comes a game show that's more ridiculous than terrifying. Welcome to Tickled to Death. I'm your host, Roz Hernandez, and I'll be guiding guests through the creepy questions and chaotic games, all to win the ultimate title of Horror Movie Champion. Listen to Tickled to Death wherever you get your podcasts, and hit follow, unless you want the show to follow you.
When they were young, the five members of an elite commando group nicknamed the Stone Wolves raged against the oppressive rule of the Cradorakian Empire, which occupies and dominates most of the galaxy's inhabited planets. The Wolves fought for freedom, but they failed, leaving countless corpses in their wake. Defeated and disillusioned, they hung up their guns and went their separate ways, all hoping to find some small bit of peace amidst a universe thick with violence and oppression. Four decades after their heyday, they each try to stay alive and eke out a living. But a friend from the past won't let them move on, and neither will their bitterest enemy. The Stone Wolves is season 11 of the Galactic Football League science fiction series by author Scott Sigler. Enjoy it as a standalone story or listen to the entire GFL series beginning with season 1, The Rookie. Search for Scott Sigler, S-I-G-L-E-R, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. This guy's standing next to you. He's got this fucking crazy look in his eyes. And he yells, "Get up! Get up!"
Oh, I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
You moron.
Before you roll, disadvantage.
Why?
I'm giving you a disadvantage.
Oh, give me a little dizzy? Okay, spending those caps. All right, I'm going to roll twice. Take the lower. Get a shot of that. Get a shot of those two natty 17s.
Jesus Christ. So comical.
This
so ridiculous. He's screwed.
Yeah.
Two natty 17s.
God damn it.
That's nasty. That's nasty sauce.
That's a disadvantage to disadvantage with Troy LaBelle.
This is with a sickle, you said?
Sickle. 5 points of damage.
Down.
Down, Warwick.
5 points of damage.
Five rolled.
A sickle is a D6.
Sickle's a D6.
God damn it. And you rolled a 5, of course.
Wait, with a plus? Oh, no. You rolled a 6?
It's a straight 5.
Yeah.
5 on a D6.
Unbelievable. Occultist.
Troy doesn't need any bonuses to his ones.
All right. I'm at 0.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay. Warwick goes down.
This guy is standing. Oh, man. This is fucking turn so fast. Yeah.
And they're just starting to rouse again, right?
Starting to rouse again. That guy's like, "What is going on?" The guy must think he's dead. He must have think he thought he died, and he's like waking up and just goes right back to sleep. It goes to Pharaoh. Now, this is all very, very bad. You talk me through this here. You've got the chance for possibly another sleep spell, possibly an attack here. Warwick, your big fighter is down. Tell me what you want to do. We've never really, this is the first time we've experienced this, right?
Yeah.
First character down.
I think so.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw up.
Warwick is in the moment. He's going to forget his fear. And he drops his crossbow to his side, runs up to you, and I'm going to try to cast Cure Wounds.
Okay.
Okay. What is the target number again? It's
11.
Okay.
Right, it's first level. All 10, right. 10 plus.
I'm going to...
Yeah.
Cap that.
Oh, God.
I will say, in the rules for sleep, vigorous shaking or being injured wakes them. That's all it says.
Okay, fair.
Vigorous shaking or being injured. Okay. Sorry. Huh, seems like they wouldn't wake up.
Curious.
Oh, a second fail?
Is that a voyage of the jump cap?
It is a voyage of the jump cap.
Okay, that's a success.
Okay, we're back, baby.
All right, 6 points of healing.
Pharaoh!
You're
a beast.
Huge.
But now I'm like standing right next to this guy that just took him out.
Saint. What?
Saint,
you do.
Is again so focused, and suddenly, like, Pharaoh has left his side. It is there too, and he's just like, oh, and he shoots at the guy who's still standing, who just attacked Warwick, just trying to get him out.
Man, huge, huge roll here.
14.
That's a hit.
It's exactly.
Yes. Okay. That hits exactly.
Exactly. Wow. These guys are tough.
That's nuts, right?
One.
Oh no! Probably had 2 hit points left.
Are you kidding?
Oh
my
god.
I can't use it on damage.
You can use it on any roll.
Is that so stupid?
No.
No, you can't do worse. That's why I didn't use my cap, because I could have done worse.
She could roll the same thing.
Come on, big money. 4.
4.
Dead.
Yes!
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. And now it comes to you. This fight's like, what the fuck's going on?
Ord. Okay, here we go. Natural 20.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, it casts twice.
Nighty night.
Yeah, well, you know, it doubles the effects.
It doubles
one numerical effect.
So they're all in a coma.
It goes from sleep to coma.
Amazing.
All right, so boom.
The grass around him is now just like, it looks like snowy tundra.
Yeah.
Around about drained so much energy from the spot on the ground.
Oh. All right, so I'm going to say you are effectively out of combat now.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to deal with these
Warwick
bodies.
Warwick scrambles up.
and
the wound is like sealing in his chest as he goes down.
We need to tie them up. Tie them up.
And I'm looking around. Nobody else here. No other threats.
We could have information. They're from that settlement. We need to know how many.
You don't see any other people. You see lights in the distance from that camp.
Saint walks over with his rope and his dagger, and he looks at Ellis and he says, we only need one.
Well, different ones could know different amounts of information. We can always slit their throat later.
And he starts pulling rope out of his pack.
Yeah, and Saint.
I pat Warwick on the chest and say, good as new. And then I pull my dagger out and go to start slitting throats.
And I pick my arrows also before we...
We'll bind them.
Wake them up.
We'll bind them all.
I take my arrows back.
And we'll wake up the injured guy.
Yeah, first.
First.
Okay.
Slap him across the face. I'm kidding.
He's all bruised.
Rest now, friend.
Oh, my God.
You're
dad.
Safe. You're safe.
Dad.
What's your name?
Who are you?
My name
all
is...
swollen.
My name is Allison. Who are you? What happened?
Nelvin.
What was that?
Nelvin Lansingshire.
He's one of the guards.
One of the guards.
He's one of the, bodyguards.
Keep your mouth
down. Shut your mouth.
And he's like, Ellis looks around. And he says, Nelvin.
We've been looking for you.
We've been looking for you. Where are your brothers? Where's Regina?
How do you know my brothers?
We were Regina. Sent.
By Martin. We were sent.
By Martin. To find you.
Martin, you... You're from Marin's Hold.
Yes.
Trying to like open his eyes. He's got like caked blood.
Pour some water on his face.
I'll reach into my herbalist pouch and maybe I'll just start to like start grinding a little like a soothing.
An anti-inflammatory?
An anti-inflammatory.
Drugs.
Drugs.
There's a camp not far from here, but there's more of them.
How many more?
At least a dozen, maybe more. They have us in a cage. My two brothers and Regina, there were others that they took before us out here, presumably, and they never came back.
They're sacrificing them to their god.
Thank you for saving me. But the others, it's going to be very dangerous. There's so many of them, and they have powers.
They also have... Sorry, Skid, go ahead.
Well... We have the robes.
They have the robes.
Can I have a robe?
No. We don't have enough. How many? It's not enough.
How are you with children?
Yeah, sidebar to the group. We gotta send him back to the tree.
They look down from the tree and you see this like horribly beaten man.
He comes stumbling up.
Monster!
Daddy. I'm your daddy now, children!
Monster!
What's the plan? It was the middle of the night.
Let's wake one of the cultists up and see if we can get any actual information, like intelligence.
Let's kill the rest.
We can wake them up in turn and kill them as
That's
we go.
That's right, careful. They have power.
Yeah, I think
we
should.
Kill them. We kill them.
Oh, yeah.
They have powers.
I've seen them do things, horrible things with their voice. Not all of them, but their leader, a very dangerous man.
He's dead now.
No, no.
Yeah, I lift the head up. This one?
No, he's back at camp.
Oh.
There's another. This is just one of his acolytes or something. They're cultists. They believe in some embered god or something.
What's the leader's name?
Torak. Torak Bane. I've heard them call him as such. A nasty man, and they fear him. Perhaps more than their god. But they're talking about there's only so much time left, and I don't know. I'm sorry. This is all very overwhelming.
Do they sleep?
Sometimes they take shifts. Yes, they sleep. They eat. They're normal people. They're probably getting ready for sleep now, but they're never all asleep at once.
Right.
Do you know where the cage is? Can you draw us a map?
Yes, I can. I do have an understanding of the camp, and I've seen more since they pulled me out of the cage. They jumped us on the road and destroyed our cart and used it for firewood and all of our spices, everything that Regina had gathered. It's all gone. But I can show you what I know.
All right, great. And then we'll explain and we'll say, okay, we're going to come up with a plan. We're going to go get Regina and your brothers. There are some children we rescued that were taken from their home. They're waiting in a tree. You're going to stay with them.
Children in a tree?
Mm-hmm. So, yes. If we don't return, you take them to Merritt's Hold. They're from Wardenwood.
What do you mean if you don't return? My brothers, my older brothers, they're there with Regina, my boss.
You said yourself it's very dangerous. We're going to do our best to take care of it.
Maybe I can
if we
help.
We don't. You're we need to get out of here with the kids and let them know in Merritt's Hold where to find us.
You're in no shape. You have no weapon. You have no armor.
I could take one of the sickles.
Please do. Yeah, let's search the bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think you guys are right. If they have casting ability.
Just start slithering. We could leave like one up and gag them.
Honestly?
Let's remove the robes first. I mean, I don't want to get blood on the robes.
Yeah, get the robes off first.
I want a sickle. My dagger only does 1d4. Sickle does 1d6.
Can you wield a sickle?
Stop asking questions.
Classic thief sickle.
It is a classic.
Thief sickle.
Thief sickle.
Thief sickle.
A thief sickle. That's what I call it.
Five sickles, six chain mails.
Oh, that's why their AC was so high. They're rocking heavy armor. Right. Well, I guess it's not that heavy.
Well, we'll put
plate.
We'll put Nelvin in chain mail and give him a sickle.
I can guard the children with this.
Yes.
I can't wield the sickle, but you can.
Yes.
And take the other sickles and the armor to the children. You know, your brothers might need it when we get them out.
All right. And just stay with the children in the tree.
And we should escort him to the children. So yeah.
We take him back. We save the kids. We explain everything.
So is our plan to put on the robes?
Yes.
Walk in?
Yes.
Yeah,
go straight to the cage,
that they have,
break him out and run?
Yes. Yeah.
We should bring the extra robes.
Yes, for them.
Yeah, for them, yeah.
It's great that they have chainmail on under their robes, so it won't look that weird when I'm wearing chainmail.
Your armor, yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
All right. Yeah, it's amazing. Like the route that you go is so clutch to come here, rest and deal with this, and to come out and survive is huge. All right. Yeah. So,
by huge, I think Trey means disappointing.
No, I mean, it gives you a shot. If he's saying there's more than a dozen people there,
yeah,
now
there's
you've
like,
at least got a plan.
There's no way we couldn't do it if we hadn't gone this way. Like
frontal assault.
And now it's night. It's perfect. We're sneaking in.
I mean, there is an argument to be made that we maybe don't all go in and we just send you to open the cage. Unless there's a guard. I guess that's
there's going to be. I think we need us to say we're switching shifts. You know, the classic.
Just put them to sleep.
We'll just all stay together.
Yep. Yeah, we'll all stay together.
Yeah.
All right, so All right, so don't forget, this is your second hex you've explored, so you're now pushing into the into the night here. We'll deal with that problem later. You don these robes.
Presumably these guys are coming back, right? Like, we can't wait.
Right, they're
Yeah, they're supposed to do, but it makes sense that we're walking right back in.
Did you slit their throats or just leave them?
Slit their throats.
Yeah, you did, okay.
And we push them into the ravine.
Are they all human?
Yes, all human.
Yeah, we take
all men?
Yes, all men.
Interesting. We take their robes.
We're all men.
Put their bodies in. We're just normal men. Push their bodies in.
Well, that's interesting. So you push their bodies in is the last thing you do before you leave. And you just hear a long sound before a thud. Like a long fall. And as you go to grab the other one, you hear this like rumbling sound from beneath the earth. It's like...
What was that?
And little wisps of smoke start to rise from the hole. And you just hear this.
Saint looks back at Pharaoh.
Maybe we shouldn't be feeding whatever that is.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Drag him.
Let's just grab him by the feet and start dragging him off into the woods.
Yeah.
Is the embered god just a dragon?
I don't want to wake it up, whatever it is.
I agree. Yeah. It was expecting one body, it got one body.
One.
Just a dragon?
Three. And we throw the body into the woods.
As opposed to a god.
They're equally difficult, in my opinion. Yeah. Equally deadly.
All right. So is where in the town, based on Nelvin's map, is the cage?
Back of the camp, the southernmost portion of the camp.
Okay. So we're going to try to go straight to the cage and not, like, walk through the town center, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
kind of go
a camp. It's just a camp.
But yeah. So you're going to walk in from the south, or you want to walk in as if?
Well, we want to. Yeah, I think we want to come back.
Presumably, it's not a 6 mile radius camp.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
All right. So we'll get into that hex, then we want to approach the camp from the south.
Okay. All right. So let's move you into that hex. Okay. Who knows?
We're pushing.
You're pushing. So now it's like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
As you come into
this. It's a good
this.
Time for a job like this. Well, it's like midnight.
Yeah, right?
It was like
oh,
dusk
yeah, that's fair.
When
that's
we
fair.
Came to the...
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. All right, so it's the witching hour. As you roll into this camp, there are probably a little over a dozen tents sprinkled about this area. Several campfires, most of which are kind of dying down, but one is still going, and you see three robed figures with their cowls down, tending the fire, just chatting. In the back of the camp where you're kind of coming from, there is a makeshift, like, wooden cage with three bodies inside. Looks like a woman and two men. Couple people maybe milling about, but the rest of the camp asleep. What do you do?
Does the cage have a lock? Saint looks immediately.
From this distance, it's hard to tell. You would assume that it's locked. Otherwise,
is there a guard?
There's one person standing outside of the cage.
The cage.
You know, like nearby, not like directly outside the door.
Here's what I think. Listen, you put those three to sleep. Saint. Take the guard. One shot. If something fails, we'll run in.
Meaning Pharaoh and I.
You want to? So I'm gonna. So the idea is I sneak up near to the guys around the car.
Three guys around the campfire, tending the fire.
With that, and like, you know, I can reasonably do that without alerting the guard at the gate, the camp.
Possibly, yeah. You think you got that hood up? Maybe they won't notice.
All right. Can I take it? You want to come with me? Like, you, if we're going to go in as with the robes on.
Oh, right. Yeah, we have robes.
Yeah
that's fine.
Just in case things
Yeah, I would say, right. Yeah, we could just walk in. I forgot about
yeah.
already.
So,
yeah.
We'll walk in, and maybe Saint, you know, breaks off to the side, and then I'll...
Well, we'll get cinematic about this. You guys come around the long way. It's now after midnight. As you come in through the south, you see that cage. You see the three bodies in it. See a robed figure standing nearby, the three around the fire. And Ellison and Warwick begin moving towards the fire, while maybe Saint and Pharaoh go towards the guard near the cage. And we'll see you next
time. Oh, yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
I knew it. I'm sweating. My hands, I'm sweating.
I can just see it like clearly. Yeah,
totally.
We have a huge advantage here. We cannot fuck this up.
I know.
But if
I know.
One thing goes wrong.
But then it's fucked.
It could turn so quickly.
Yep.
Severely outnumbered.
Yeah.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale. Paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.